The focus is on Latin America today. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. President Biden meets today with Mexico's president as part of 2 days of talks among leaders of Mexico, Canada, and the U.S. Economic issues will be high on the agenda, including some trade tensions, Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
President Biden is scheduled to meet first with Mexican President Andres Manuel López Obrador. Biden and Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau will meet tomorrow. That's followed by a summit with all three leaders. The White House says Biden and López Obrador will discuss things like strengthening supply chains and taking joint actions to address fentanyl and what the administration calls irregular migration. The three leaders will strike a positive tone with lots of smiles for the cameras, but there are some tensions beneath the surface, including a dispute over Mexico's announcement it's banning imports of genetically modified corn from the U.S. The U.S. and Canada have also accused Mexico of playing favorites in the energy sector, giving control of Mexico's market to state-owned energy companies and squeezing out power plants built by foreign or private investors. That would violate a free trade agreement the three nations signed. López Obrador says Mexico's power grid is a matter of national security, but the U.S. and Canada have started dispute resolution proceedings. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
As you've been hearing, authorities in Brazil have retaken control of government buildings stormed by rioters who refused to accept that former President Jair Bolsonaro lost the recent election. Hundreds were arrested. Brazilian officials are focused on the role of social media in fueling some of this in a country that is economically divided. Using a key measure of inequality, the Gini coefficient, the World Bank finds Brazil has the ninth widest gap between rich and poor in the world. And while inflation there surged this year to 9% in June, Brazil was among Latin American countries to take aggressive steps to push it back down. Economist Julia Coronado is founder of Macro Policy Perspectives.
The Brazilian central bank recognized the dangers and the threat from inflation earlier than the Fed and the European central bank and raised rates earlier and more aggressively and are seeing inflation come down, actually.
Inflation has come down. It's still a little bit eye-watering. It was below 8% last time I checked. But clearly, there's something different across Latin America in the approach to inflation. Perhaps it's the history there.
Yeah, they know inflation. They know how damaging it can be. They saw the signs early and reacted. It's been an unusual success story for Latin America.
Economist Julia Coronado is also a professor at the University of Texas, Austin. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Earlier in pandemic, illness, burnout, and family demands forced healthcare workers to leave. Now, that trend has reversed now. The latest data show an average of 49,000 people a month have accepted jobs in healthcare last year, meaning healthcare staffing is back to pre-pandemic levels. Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes reports on the wider story.
Back in 2020, a lot of healthcare workers burned out and left their jobs. Monica O'Reilly Jacobs studies nursing as a professor at Boston College.
The working conditions were terrible. Nurses had lots of dependents that they needed to be taken care of. They couldn't manage daycare, so there was a significant drop in the workforce.
Last year, some of those workers returned and new ones entered the field, which is good because now we're all very interested in getting healthcare that we didn't get at the height of the pandemic.
So all those elective surgeries that were put on hold, we're slowly sort of working our way through the queue on those.
According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, healthcare employment is expected to grow by 13% in the next decade, much faster than the average for all occupations. Veronica Clark is an economist at Citi.
It is a sector where there is, you know, some element of inelastic demand. You know, it is a pretty recession-proof sector.
And the aging American population needs the sector to grow. William Dombey leads the National Association for Home Care and Hospice, a trade group. He says the pandemic elevated the level of care that patients could get at home, and the public wants more of that.
Many people are taking further steps to try to avoid going into a nursing facility setting for care.
Dombey says this is likely growing the number of healthcare jobs, and that some of his members have had to turn down customers because they don't have enough staff. I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
China has officially reopened its borders to international travelers, and for the first time in 3 years, people can travel back and forth freely between Hong Kong and the mainland, where tens of thousands of people have gathered at border checkpoints as China's COVID policy gets eased some more. The BBC's Martin Yip reports.
Tens of thousands of people have been streaming through China's immigration checkpoints since midnight. At this crossing between Hong Kong, Macau and Western Guangdong province, many were excited about reuniting with their loved ones. The first inbound international flights landed in the southern cities of Guangzhou and Shenzhen. Some others later arrived in the capital, Beijing.
I come back from England for Chinese New Year. I'm so happy to be back and breathe Chinese air.
I just feel so excited because I haven't been back to home for a year and a half, so it's such a big moment for me.
Health experts have warned that fresh outbreaks are almost inevitable as restrictions have now been lifted and people are rushing home to spend the Lunar New Year with their families. Chinese officials have insisted their response will be targeted, efficient, and scientific. Beijing has also criticized new restrictions imposed on Chinese travelers by Western countries, a politically motivated campaign against Beijing's effort to combat the coronavirus.
Martin Yip is a reporter with our editorial partners at the BBC. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.